from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and a DLF family of podcasts, this is a Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tenderflex, Super Six, Your Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Richie Neal, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 186 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. Weeks need to stop being obnoxious. I mean, this, we've gotten a little better, not quite. The combination of buys and injuries had me starting Travis Homer and Savon Ahmed in one league.
Ouch.
A league I was competing in, let me be specific. So that, I lost. I mean, let's just call that what it is. That was not great. Yeah. That did not go well for me. But yeah, man, we're here. It's almost the end of week 10. Thankfully, I am still not watching the Monday night games. But I get to watch these two guys watch the Monday night games and just guess how it's going for me when they do. But you heard Richie introduce himself. It is his first time on this show. So, I mean, let's start out by Richie. Let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
Yep, I'm Richie Neal. I am at underscore Richie Rich FF06 on Twitter. I am on Facebook as well. I am the co-host of the Casuals Fantasy Football Podcast with three awesome dudes. Ben, Bo, and Ken. We record actually every day at 6:30. And we like to call, and as Dynasty Outhouse has informed us, as the murder basement of Ken's basement. So but it's a lot of fun. You know, I love fantasy football. It's something that I try to take pride in, even though I may not be very good at it, but you know, I try.
So, I mean, let's tell the story of this. They invite me on their podcast, The Casuals. You should absolutely check out because they are all awesome. And at least the show I was on was terrific. I mean, that's I'll say that.
I don't know about the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak to it. But
is it every show you're on terrific, Russ? Just by you being there?
You said it. I didn't. If everyone wants to make that assumption, that's on them, not on me. So they're in this basement. They have this nice, wonderful, like, conference table they sit at with this nice setup in between all of them. And on the back wall that me as the guest is just staring at, there's just, like, blankets lined up against the wall, like, very Dexter-like. And then at one point, they're just, there it is. I mean, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can see the lining of the murder basement. And at one point during the show, they're like, hey, we're right near Canton. Next year, you come to the expo. You should come here to record. And I'm like, why are you trying to lure me into the murder basement, guys? What's all right? I see what you're doing. No, I'm not going to do that.
You're going to get a shot to the neck, Russ.
I will not give away. I will not give away who that was, but Kent.
I'm sorry. You coughed. I missed what you said. Did you say something? I don't.
No, not at all.
No. Oh, yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, no, but seriously, Casuals are awesome. You should absolutely check them out. And let's do our little interviewee thing before I continue just to completely complain about how I'm losing all my fantasy games. Richie, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
I've been playing actually just about maybe 4 years. I've actually only been playing Dynasty. This is my second year of Dynasty football. It's been an adventure. And obviously, you know, being on our show, I have been known as the one who likes to trade. I most definitely have a trading problem. I've made some good trades, some bad trades, and a lot of really bad trades.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
Yeah. But no, it's become like a really important hobby because, you know, I'm getting older. I'm getting out of shape. So messing with my phone is a lot easier than playing anything that has to do with athletics. So,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my question to you, because you haven't been playing for all that long and you made the quick jump from redraft into Dynasty. And I'm very curious because it seems to happen with a lot of the newer people. And how did you make that quick jump after the 2 years? Was it people you played with? Were you on Twitter already and you found it easily? Like, how did you make that transition in 2 years?
So the biggest, obviously the biggest reason was one of the co-hosts, Bo. He got us, he actually got all of us at this table into it. It was like the flip of a switch almost in the sense of, like I said, I love trading. I love communicating. And I love making friends with new people. So it was really easy for me to just start talking player values. Mm-hmm. And when I start talking player values, it just makes it easy for me to begin to start talking trades. And, you know, I feel like I am never comfortable with my lineup. I'm always looking to change something up. You know, I think there's maybe two or three players that I have in multiple leagues. And I like valuing players in different ways, in different leagues because of different settings and, you know, super flex, tight end premium. There's a few leagues that I'm in that have IDP, team defense, you know, so I have a wide range of different views on how to look at player values.
All right, but so you've only been in Dynasty for 2 years. How many Dynasty leagues are you in?
I am currently in 5.
Okay, that's not bad.
Then I have
still a baby.
Yeah, I mean year two, I easily hit double digits year two, man.
Yeah,
like, so good for you. Good for you.
I don't think I'll be getting more than that, but
okay.
Yeah, it's a lot to stay up with. Because I definitely have realized this year that there's a league or two that I don't pay attention to as much. Mm-hmm. And I actually joined a 10-team Dynasty League startup this year. And by far my best team, but I'm on the verge of being 5-5.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. And then there's leagues like Trade Addicts 3 where every week, everyone has a great laugh that I have the 9th least points, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm in 3rd place because no defense wins championships, baby. I'm telling you.
And he's going to win again this week.
I'm going to win again.
I have one of those leagues. I think I'm highest scorer and I'm in 5th. And I have the highest score of like 300 points.
Yep. And that's why you should always have the last seed go to most points, even though in 5th you're probably still in the playoffs. Yep. Okay. So let's get into it. You're you like trading. You're addicted to trading. What are some of your best and some of your worst Dynasty trades?
So there is a specific trade with one of my co-hosts. I'm going to bring him up a lot because he has somehow found a way to fleece me in multiple deals. The first deal, which looks really bad now, is a 22 first for Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah, that's not great.
No.
Now, the second trade is a lot, so it's going to be kind of tough to follow. It is, I received Saquon Barkley. Now, this is the beginning of last year before the season even started. Saquon Barkley, Deion Lewis, Miles Boykin, David Njoku, a 22 fourth round pick and a 22 fifth round pick. and he received Joe Mixon, Mark Andrews, Jalen Reagor, 22 first-round pick, another 22 first-round pick, and a third 22 first-round pick.
That's not great, Bob.
That's horrible.
I almost fell over in my chair trying to follow that. I'm not going to lie.
So, I just heard Saquon for a whole bunch of stuff, basically.
Yeah. So it's Joe Mixon, Mark Andrews, Reagor, and three first-round picks.
Nice.
Was there any legit guy there now besides Saquon?
No.
That's what I thought.
Okay. No. I would not say he took advantage of me, but he took advantage of me.
He did it in a very loving way. It was all out of respect.
I think it was my second month after we drafted. So it was very quick. And I think he's seen how I didn't value first round picks and traded Keyshawn Vaughn for a first round pick. So I think he definitely got the best of me in that deal. Yeah. He definitely got the best. Now, I did make a good deal actually in a 14 team. We start 20 players. It's 10 IDP and 10 offensive players. So I made a trade with Ben, who is one of our co-hosts as well, and it was Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford for Deshaun Watson, Gabriel Davis, and a second.
You got Kupp and Stafford?
Yes.
Yeah. That is nice.
It's definitely one of my better deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, I don't really have too many like deals to where I've like completely won because I try to just get relationships with former people or in some of the leagues. You know, I try to gain relationships, you know, because future trading is just as important as the current trade.
Nah, I win trades. That's what I do. With all those awesome offers I sent to Rocky.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely the guy known to just send offers because I'm up all night driving, so I'm sending offers all the time.
Just a step above Larry's, Russ.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. Give me a little bit more than that. I mean, I know mine are bad, but yeah. Larry Monkey, oh, man. Those offers are legendary at this point. All right, Richie, what is a guiding principle you take with you whether you are offering or evaluating a trade?
So I definitely mentioned this to you when you came on our podcast. I try to gain relationships with people, and the biggest thing is, for me, I want to win a trade, but I know I'm not always going to win every trade, especially when I'm targeting a player that I want and I have trust in that I feel could turn it around or, you know, be something in the future, especially in the dynasty aspect of it. But I try to get my name out there to people in leagues because when they have a player that they want to trade, more than likely they're going to come to me first if I'm very active in trading and trying to find trades. So I really try to get my name out there to league mates just so they know that they can trade with me.
You know, the best way to do that is to just create the league and, you know, you're the one that invites them in there so they know who you are.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the first league I went in with Bo, I knew most of the guys, but not all of them. And they definitely found out very quickly that they can always contact me because I'm definitely willing to talk a trade.
All right, man. Well, thank you for letting all the fine people listening, because I know there's many, many fine people listening all about you.
And well, it's more than our three listeners that we have on our podcast.
Yeah, we definitely double your listenership. I'm telling you. Six on a good day, seven. That's how we roll, baby.
Yeah.
But none of them are my mom or my wife. I could tell you that much. So that
I think, yeah, I think the three listeners are probably sitting at the table.
Okay, so let's just start complaining. Oh my God, this week. Oh, all right. So my biggest, like, okay, I actually had the house to myself on Sunday for the first time in as long as I can remember. I am well married. I have a 6 and an 8-year-old, so it's pretty rare I get to watch football in general, no less for an extended period of time. I get the house to myself, and I do what any self-respecting man does when he gets the house to himself. I fell asleep 10 minutes after everyone left, so I missed the first quarter of football. Like, right away, I passed the hell out on the couch to the I put on Red Zone before it starts, and it gives you that, mm-hmm. like, intense music and the countdown clock, and I fell asleep to the intense music.
A nap with the wife and kids around is rare.
Yeah.
You gotta take advantage of it.
It was wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I'm sad I missed football, but whew, it was rejuvenating. And then I wake up to, what was it, Jamar Jefferson, and I'm not even going to try and remember that other dude's
Godwin
name.
Godwin Igwebukwe or something?
Yeah, something like, not DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift had such a good game, mm-hmm. except everybody but him scored touchdowns. Like, what is this? Like, oh. And how many tight ends felt the need to bagel this week? Ugh. Like,
I had Sticky and Hawk, yeah.
Like, it's funny, a bunch of people were complaining in Trade Addict 7. Or it was Tyler and Doug, and I'm just like, hey, man, I'll give you Gesicki's points. Never mind. Because they have Hawk, and yeah, he zeroed out also. But, you know, they're trying to score points. I'll take the zero all day in that league at least. But yeah, now, like, again, this week is getting a little better where people were scoring points that should be scoring points. Ryan Tannehill refuses to give good receivers the ball. Who was the guy this week?
Like Marcus Johnson.
M. Johnson. I don't even know his first name. Yet he's going off for 100 yards and A.J. Brown had 2 catches. Though Lattimore's good. I get it. Whatever. So what? It hurt me. That's what it did. And that's what fantasy football seems to be doing lately. Yep. Like I said before, when I started crying before the interview thing, was bye weeks and injuries are just destroying this season for me. And it makes me sad.
Yeah. But Bo's a Titans fan, so that's why I knew his name.
Oh, good point, and I'm sorry. Well, I mean, they're not doing terrible. I mean, so I guess not really I'm sorry, though it sucks to lose Henry.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, Jordan Howard and Mark Ingram were relevant today, or this week.
Yep.
And Mark Ingram was pretty relevant. Like, he was getting a lot of looks in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get to the news, and let's start with something that's relevant right now to you two that are watching the game, and if anyone's listening to us live, which I see a little zero right here on the counter thing, so nobody else but you two, because I'm not watching the game. So the Rams sign, I almost sound like the Ramstein. No, everyone's too young for that. The Rams signed Odell Beckham Jr., and then heavy air quotes are coming, everyone. Coincidentally, that same day, Robert Woods tears his ACL. Like, is this a Tyrod Taylor thing? That's what I wanted. Like, oops, our injection missed and punctured your lung. Yes, that's what a team doctor would do. All of a sudden, Odell Beckham shows up and Robert Woods tears his ACL. So, yeah, Robert Woods, that's rough, man. He's 30-something, right? And he just tore his ACL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is rough for me because I'm on a lot of my competing teams. And then Odell Beckham, at least in the first half, you said he had like 2 catches, so mm-hmm. and caused an interception. But you know, his first he's been on the team for 3 days and he's still catching the ball. So I will say, I know the answer before Woods got injured, if would you go out and trade for Odell Beckham, the answer was going to be no, because it's a crowded offense with players that are already established. We lost one player that's established. So Richie, are you now interested in Odell Beckham Jr. on your fantasy teams?
Well, to give you a little bit of information, I actually traded Beckham for Julio Jones and a third right before he signed with the Rams.
Okay. Did you regret it after that happened?
I slightly regret it right now, but...
Well, no. Post-signing, pre him breaking...
No, I thought it was
Robert
good
Woods' his knee.
Yeah, it was good value.
Almost made Rocky spin out his ear.
See, there was like a meme that had like Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan and
yep.
Tanya Harding.
Very glad I was not drinking when I scrolled past that one.
No,
kids out there, Google it.
I like the value for sure. And a lot of the guys in the league that I made the trade in were like, you know, you got really good value. But obviously now it looks kind of regrettable with Julio going on IR, Robert Woods having a knee injury, you know, so obviously Beckham, you know, does he fall into the wide receiver two role on that team? But in regards to this game, it doesn't look like that. It looks like Van Jefferson might be that guy, but it is also 3 days since he signed. So,
and I'm here for the Van Jefferson train, by the way.
Yes,
like I liked him. I loved when they got rid of DeSean Jackson because it showed a comfort in Van Jefferson being their deep guy. But I still think there's enough targets. There's vacated targets, Peter, for Odell Beckham to still be a little relevant. I think so. Rocky, I know you are very openly not an Odell Beckham Jr. fan, but does this change anything for you? Is he at least a little bit valuable?
I think he's more relevant than he was in Cleveland, but no. I mean, I'm not interested in going out and acquiring him. I'd rather have Van Johnson, who you can
Jefferson.
who you can probably get for the same price. I've been out on Odell for a while. I don't think just because he's on it, I get he's on a better offense. It probably does make him slightly more relevant. I still don't think we're going to see like a bunch of 6-7 catch games or 90-100 yard games. Van's going to be just as involved. Cup is Cup. I don't trust him. I don't think he's ever been the same since. He's looked okay this year. He doesn't look like he's like an old man or anything, but I still don't think he's ever going to be the same guy he was, you know, 4 years ago.
No.
And even though he's not that old right now, but I guess the injuries are taking their toll. And I don't know what's going on, but like, does he just ruin any team he comes to? Because the Rams are down 17 points as we're recording right now. But
look, man, the past 3 weeks and like last week, what happened between the Bills and the Jaguars, there's no accounting for talent in this league right now.
It is crazy.
There's someone with a game of Madden that is just messing with us, you know, in the sky above. Like there's no accounting for what the hell is going on.
Yeah, Bucks losing to the football team, that's nuts. Yeah.
I mean, if I have Beckham on any of my rosters, I'm actually trying to sell him.
For? You know, what would it take to get him off your team?
I would do it for a second. I would do it for a second round pick.
Yeah. I have him in one league. It's a home league where it's not as active as some of my other leagues. And if someone would give me a second for him, I would do it in a second.
two-thirds.
Yeah.
Would you take two-thirds?
I mean, if it was a young receiver and a third, I would consider that.
Okay.
Rock. Yeah, for sure.
I agree. I'd rather try and get a player, at least a flyer and a third or something like that. I would do a third plus a player, but I don't think I'd do two-thirds.
That's really funny because I usually record and I have these – I have a new setup now, which – even if you are watching, all you see is a blank wall behind me. But, you know, I'm usually in this little alcovey thing and I have these curtains I can close and it blocks a little bit of noise. Apparently, there's a vent right over there and it sounded like a freaking hurricane. So I don't know if anybody heard that, but it was terrifying for a second. Okay, so here's my thing. I know Odell Beckham is not Odell Beckham. He's not OBJ anymore, right? Let's play that game. Like, he's Odell Beckham. He's not OBJ anymore. In the season we're having where I can't trust a guy to be playing next week, I think I definitely, like, if it's going to cost me, I mean, like, Tylan Wallace in a third or, like, some other random dude that if I'm lucky, I never really have to start, you know, or hell, if I had my second and I think I'm going to be the 212, is there anyone that much better you think you can get for the 212? Than someone who has, let's put it this way. We know what Van Jefferson is. Van Jefferson's going to be the deep guy. We have Cooper Kupp, who's the ridiculous route runner, which means there's a good chance they just send Odell on slants over and over and over again. And we know at least a year and a half ago, any of those slants can go for 60 yards and a touchdown. Can it still? I mean, I guess we have to wait to see if his legs still work like that. But you know, I think it's worth a gamble. I would make the trade and probably wouldn't feel safe starting him until I absolutely needed to or until we saw it happen. But I don't think it's the worst gamble in the world.
Yeah.
I would.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Richie.
Oh, that's cute. Rocky, shut up. Let the guest go first.
I was trying to.
if I'm the guy on our podcast that says, no, go ahead. But so if I'm competing, I'm definitely willing to buy Beckham. But if I'm not a competing team, then I'm going to try and sell him.
Oh yeah.
You know, as high as I could, you know, especially if he has a great game. You know, he has one of those 6 catches, 80 yards and a touchdown. You probably whizzle a late first, you know, if somebody in the league is really competing and needing that wide receiver 3 on their team. So I would definitely be willing to buy him if I'm competing, but if I'm not competing, I'm definitely willing to try and sell him as high as possible.
And I was just going to say, he's not anyone I'm ever going to go actively send an offer for, but if someone would offer him to me maybe even if they offer for a second, maybe I'll counter for that third and a flyer kind of guy. Or if they offered me for third and a flyer, I would take it. But because I do agree, I think he's going to have probably some boom games here where maybe he goes 5 for 80 in a touchdown or something like that. But I don't think it's going to be consistent. I don't think he's going to be a guy you can depend on in your lineup. So I'll buy him cheap, but I'm not actively going after him. If someone wants to sell him to me cheap and they randomly send me an offer, then I'll do it. But I have no desire to go out and purchase him. I don't think the upside's really there, other than to possibly, if he has a big game, sell him for a profit. But in terms of production, I don't think you're going to get it.
Yeah, my problem is
try and go get him.
I'm 45 minutes from Cleveland, so a lot of our leagues have Browns fans, and as I, you know, I am a Browns fan, but they're going to hold on to his name, you know, so they're not going to want to sell him, you know, unless it's an offer that they can't refuse.
I mean, let's be honest, that's pretty much what I'm doing at this point. I'm holding on to the fact that I understand he's not going to be completely what he was, but I think he can be not 100% Odell Beckham is still better than a lot of the crappy guys in the league is what I don't know if I'm convincing myself of this, if I really believe it. I don't know, but I think I'm going to go make a trade for him at some point just so I could, you know, my just in case share. Just, you know, I have so many leagues. I might as well just have one just in case he does do well.
Well, when I listen next week, I can guarantee you I'm going to hear a Odell Beckham trade by Dynasty Outhouse.
I hope. I'm sitting here while you guys are talking, scrolling through all my competing teams to see where Odell is.
You're looking.
Yeah, I definitely am going to try and do something tomorrow before I put this out and everyone hears it and tries to sell him to me for a second and a third, because they're all a bunch of jerks. Thanks for listening. Anybody have faith that Robert Woods comes back next year and his career is still worthwhile in fantasy football? Was that mean? I get it. Because, I mean, let's face it, it's week 10. He's old. Older than one of us, at least. I feel like you're like 22, right, Rich?
28.
Close enough. Well, yeah, so he is older than you, younger than me and Rock. Yes. But still, I mean, football-wise, he's old, and you don't recover like you used to, and it's week 10 already. So even if it does take him 12 months to come back, that's the end of next season already, and he's going to be like 39 at that point. And are you holding on to him for any hopes and dreams?
I'm definitely willing to hold him.
Well, you're not going to drop him, yes.
Yeah, if there's a non-competing team in a league that wants to buy him for fair value, I'm definitely willing to sell, but I'm not against holding on to him until next year, because it's definitely a receiver that you would want to have going into a playoff run.
Look, man, you keep trying to cheat your way out of this by just using the phrase fair price without saying what that fair price is.
Yeah.
What would it take to get Robert Woods off your team at this point? What would you feel comfortable selling him for?
Well, I sold him for a first, actually, earlier in this year. But right now, I'd do a second. I'd probably do mid, high second.
Rocky.
What would I pay for him?
No. What would you send him away for?
What would I send him away for? I would take any second for him. I don't need. It doesn't need to be mid to high. His value is going to be dust after this year. It's dust now, pretty much. Nobody's going to want a 30-year-old, or is he 31 maybe next year, coming off of a torn ACL. I do think he could possibly offer some production. I don't think he's even going to be the kind of guy we've seen previously, though. I wonder. I'm not sure what the contract situation is there. I know he signed an extension within the last year or two, so I'm not sure if they have an out yet or not. But I just he's going to have no value, and the production is a humongous question mark. I would gladly take a late second for him.
I think I'm there too. I think I would take a second and let him go. I honestly just, if I'm on the side of a trade that he is being offered to me, I don't think I could value him in a second. That's the hard part. You know, it's one of those, I'm not going to pay a second for that. If you want to throw him in as a, like we were talking, like a player and a third for someone, if he's that player, okay, that's fine. I'll give it a shot at that, you know, and hope that he comes back early next year and does okay enough that I could sell him for a second, hopefully. But there doesn't seem to be a reason to take that risk on, I think is what I'm landing on. Like, there doesn't, like, I don't see a reason for it. Okay, we can move on now to one of the other many things that are going to make me want to cry. Aaron Jones sprained his MCL, which they said 1 to 2 weeks, but let's face it, that's 2 to 4 weeks of an injury. And it's cold up in Lambeau, which means it's going to take a little longer because cold keeps things restricted. And you know, it's just,
they also have a bye in 2 weeks, to in week 13. So I think it's going to be 11, 12. He's out, 13 bye, 14 back.
Hey, that hurts. I'm not going to lie. So many Aaron Jones on my competing teams again. So, and we didn't even get to the third piece of news, which is also a very big problem for all my competing teams. But let's talk about Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon for a second, because clearly that's the pivot we have to make on this. Aaron Jones honestly hasn't been doing great this season, even though I love him anyway. Like, I will, like, that's my ride or die at this point. Like, I don't care that he's not doing great. He's still Aaron Jones, and he's still awesome and in an awesome offense. But I mean, let's talk reality. Knowing that this is probably 2 to 3 active weeks of missing, if you're an Aaron Jones owner, are you going out to acquire AJ Dillon for what you probably have to pay to get AJ Dillon right now, which means probably a first?
I'm not paying a first for Dillon.
Like, because I feel like you had to pay an early second before this happened, in which case you're paying a first now. And you died again.
There you go. I hit my muted me. I'm moving my hands around.
Stop. Don't try and be me, Rocky. It's not a good idea.
I don't even usually do that. And of course, when I do, I whack my mic cord.
Exactly. It takes practice.
But yeah, I especially I think a lot of the people who have him are AJ Dillon truth. Like, a lot of people love AJ Dillon. Yeah. So I don't want to pay that price. I still think, you know, Aaron Jones is going to be there for this year. He's going to be there next year at least.
Yep.
And I don't want to pay a first for a backup running back just because he's going to start for two games. And I know he's getting involved. I know he's part of the offense, even when Aaron Jones is there. But he's not a guy I think I would ever feel comfortable starting when Aaron Jones is healthy, even though he will have some good games.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I can't sell a first for AJ Dillon because he's only going to start a few weeks. And after that, it's very hard to start him as a flex in certain spots just because, you know, I feel like they could be saving Aaron Jones for a playoff run. So that's why I do think that they could hold out on Aaron Jones definitely until after the bye week, which is a good point by Rocky. But I can't give away a first for two starts just because of, you know, that Aaron Jones is going to be there for a few more years.
Well, definitely next year, because I think he would be a ton of dead cap if they were to try and either cut or move him. So it's probably just not going to happen at that point.
Yeah, that one I'm pretty certain they do have an out after the second year. But yeah, he's going to be there next year.
So, okay. So we're pretty, I agree. So there's no point in saying all of the things you just said yet again. Now, my question after that is, I mean, at this point, you can probably get Aaron Jones for a single first. If you're a competing team that happens to have your first, another mid late first, do you try and go get Aaron Jones for when he comes back for that playoff push at the end?
Are you saying two firsts for Aaron Jones?
I think you only have to do one. It's like one. a first and a second, maybe at most.
If I'm competing, I'm definitely giving a first for Aaron Jones, and I'll sit on him for a few weeks. Especially if I'm in a position to where was week 10, I'm 7-2 or 6-3, and I'm in a 3 or 4 hole. I'm definitely willing to pay a first for Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I'm with you. He has not been that bad this year. I mean, he's been pretty good. He's actually RB6 in TA scoring. He's just been very up and down.
He's been consistent. He hasn't been. He had that one week two where he put up like 40 points. But after that, he's been around that 15-16 area. And that's not really what you paid for Aaron Jones for. Like, I paid 2 firsts. I paid a 22 and 23 firsts before the season started. And I felt good about it. I'm not feeling so great about it right now, but I still love the guy, so it's fine. But
yeah, I would pay that. I would definitely pay 1 first. I'd probably do a second on top of it if I had to. I'd rather not, but obviously. But I'm definitely fine with it. I'd even do something that I thought was like a mid-ish playoff first. I'd be fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clearly that's how I feel because I love me some Aaron Jones. I just wanted to get some confirmation bias is what it comes down to. So thank you for giving me the answer I wanted to hear. So Cordarrelle Patterson, I think he sprained his ankle, so he's going to miss a couple of weeks. I don't know why or what I did to the fantasy football gods to just make them smite me this much, but at least you didn't pay that much to get Cordarrelle Patterson, and I did have him on a bunch of bad teams, so I got seconds for him. So I'm trying to make myself feel better, and it's not working. You could tell by the tone of my voice that this is not a happy voice. I don't think there's anything we could even do on this news. You're not going to go out and trade for Mike Davis because that seems to be a failed experiment. Wayne Gallman season. Every single Giants backup seems to do well when Saquon got hurt. Yeah. It doesn't matter who it was. I forgot who the other one, like Wayne Gallman. Alfred Morris didn't even do that bad, and he's like 100. Wayne Gallman did fine. Devontae Booker did fine. Like, everyone does pretty well when they walk in for Saquon Barkley. So is Gallman good, or do the Giants just treat their backup running backs really well? Like, I don't know, man. Like...
I think it comes down to value with the Giants running backs. I mean, I actually sold Barkley a few weeks ago for Joe Mixon. I sold Barkley and Shark for Mixon, which in a playoff run got the now value. But in regards to their backups, it comes down to value. And I think that's why Barkley coming back is so intriguing, because he's going to get 25 touches a game and he's going to get the workload out of the backfield in regards to rushing, receiving. And it's so intriguing heading into a playoff run. But you know, I made the move to get the points just because of Barkley's injury history.
He's not going to step on a dude's ankle, a dude's foot every single game.
I think it comes down to bad luck more so than anything.
Yeah. I am fully on that page. Okay, so we're not going to talk about the Falcons anymore because they're just terrible, and there's no point to that. But Richie, you are the guest, so which do you want to do first? Do you want to do Trade Addicts trades, or do you want to do listener questions?
We'll do listener questions.
Okay, now I have to scroll. The first one comes from Justin Rogers at RunDFF. When are you willing? I don't know why I just completely froze. I'm like, how do you read that word? When? Okay, got it.
When? That's a tough one.
Whew. When are you willing to start pulling the trigger on all-in moves for the playoffs? Okay, I saw this and I'm like 2 weeks ago? I get to ask this question a lot, mostly because of the whole trade thing I exude. But I feel like by week 4 or 5, you know what your team is. Clearly, years like this makes it a little more open because everyone's open to getting screwed at this point. But yeah, like, we're in week 10 already. I mean, the playoffs start in 5 weeks. You know if you're competing at this point. And even if you were on the fence, a lot of the teams know that they're not competing, in which case I think the prices may go up a little already. In which case, yeah, I'm probably saying like week six, week seven. Rocky had some good news right there. Little fist pump.
I just won that big money. I needed 2 yards from Mitchell. He got 5. So,
all right. So yeah. Now he just needs to not do anything else.
Yes. Don't fumble it.
Don't fumble, but don't gain too many yards.
Yes. That's him.
So, yeah, I'm already at the point where I'm ready to go all in. And my definition of all in would be selling at least all of this coming year's picks. So, all my 22 picks. I mean, chances are I don't have any anymore anyway. But like sometimes I'll hold on to my 23 picks, you know, the 2 years out pick, but probably not, especially in the trade X leagues. We don't have trade deadlines. So that's why I like to try and hold on to it for just in case something happens like at the end. But also, I hate having depth on my team, mostly because I hate making lineup decisions and I'm bad at it. So I will start trying to pull off 2-for-1s, pulling 2 wide receiver 3s into a wide receiver 2 kind of thing. I absolutely have started doing that by now already in most of my teams that are competing, and the opposite in those that I am not competing in. So I don't know if that's me being crazy or me just being bored and in way too many leagues, but Richie, when do you decide to go all in on whatever direction you're going in?
For me, it's definitely week 7 or 8. Because for me, if you look at your league mates, you know, they're also going into some of those, you know, week 10, week 11, thinking that they're going to compete for a championship. So they're not going to want to try and trade some of their players coming into the playoffs. So you're going to want to do that a little earlier, you know, week 6, 7, and 8. So then that way, maybe there's other teams that haven't decided yet. So maybe there's some of those wide receiver 3s that you can turn into wide receiver 2s, or some of the young players that you can, you know, put together with picks to get some guys that you need to compete. So I'm definitely targeting that week 7, week 8.
That was going to be exactly my answer too. It's but generally around mid-season, you know, fantasy season. So around that week 7-ish area, and there's a lot of factors that go into it. I'm sure we've talked about before, things like, you know, your total points. And I'm not maybe as concerned about record, especially in league. Most of my leagues, like the Trade Addicts leagues, have at least 1 point spot. But if I know I think by week 7, I know I have a good team. I also kind of am starting to get an idea where my playoff positioning might be, if I have a chance at a bye, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm definitely, I think in a points per carry league, I sent Devontae Smith a first and something else for Dalvin Cook a couple weeks ago. I think it actually might have been week 7. And right around that same time, I also sent, like, I think most of my picks, 2 firsts and like a second or and a third or something like that for Henderson and Gibson in another league. So I've already been doing this. So I agree with you when you said 2 weeks ago, Russ, 2 or 3 weeks ago is about when I start looking at that and start trying to push my chips in on competitors.
Yeah, I mean, that feels right. And don't get us wrong, because we all just agreed. I was about to say, don't get me wrong, but you guys all said the same thing I did. It's not too late if you just decide right now, because, again, especially depending on your league rules, I'm trying to, what's the words, you know, playoff
bylaws.
There you go. You know, figure out how you get into the playoffs, which is a very important thing. If it's just based on record, I feel like you probably had to have made your decision already. Otherwise, it's, I don't know, it's so weird at this, like, by just record. I don't even know how to deal with that when there's like 5 and 4 and 4 and 5 teams and you're just like, ah, because there's just, yeah. It's so random that I don't even know. I like that point, I would just sell out for the hell of it, because it's like, maybe I do. And if I make it, maybe I win. But if you know that someone gets in on points or someone gets in on all play, potential points, whatever it is, just make sure you're paying attention to that, because like that TA3 team, there's no way in hell I'm doing anything to put that team into an actual playoff push. You know, I have literally almost no points whatsoever, and I'm somehow in third place.
Yep,
and it's, don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful joke. It is hilarious. And I don't care. I'm not going to do anything to that team to lose the value I have of all the young guys. But
it is great that we were joking today. You're going to end up with the bye.
God, screw that. I'm winning this league, baby. Yeah. This is going to be my league. And like, it's the other way around as well. Like, like Richie was saying before, he has a team where he has by 300 points the most points for.
Yeah.
But you're 5-5. Mm-hmm. But if you know that, well, I guess to be fair, if you're leading by 300 points, you don't need to make moves to push. You just need, just, you know, take that sixth seed out of most points and just keep it going. But you know, just that's a very important point, is to just make sure you know what you're pushing for, or get that extra piece of information to know if you should push. And again, I only use MFL. I have one league that's still on Yahoo, and it's a keeper league. It's not even Dynasty, but it's, you know, one of those leagues that my friend runs it, and he would just guilt me every year. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to come back this year. Bro, come on, bro. You got to come in, bro. You're one of the only good people, bro. And I was just like, fine. All right. But on my fantasy league, if you go reports, standings, there's power rankings. That gives you so much helpful information. It gives you potential points, the amount of games you would have won or could have lost if you set your ultimate lineup, or, you know, if the, your opponent did. But it also gives you your all play record, your all, and the win percentage and stuff like that. So you can see weekly how you would have stacked up against every other team. There's just a lot of very good information to show how you really do stack up against your league, because in the standings, chances are you really only see your record points for, points against. And while that gives you a little bit of idea, it's not super specific. It doesn't, did some guy get 600 points scored against him one week? I mean, I want to see that. If anybody had 600 points scored against you, or if you scored 600 points, man, screenshot that to me, because good for you, man. Or a woman. But seriously, like, that really will help you decide whether you should go for it or not. And in any case, eliminate your trade deadlines if you have any, and just make the decision at the last second, and it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a, so we actually, I only use Sleeper currently, but we are actually starting a My Fantasy League with the podcast crew that we have, and we're doing a 2-conference, 4-division, 24-team league. So we're really pumped about using it. So that's definitely some information. We're definitely gonna be coming to you.
Oh yes.
To kind of gather some information on how to use that, because that's very intriguing to look at, you know, on a weekly basis, to see, you know, oh, I could have won this week if I would have put in the right players, you know. So I have the weapons to win weeks. I just need to make sure I'm making the right moves.
Yeah, and it shows you your lineup efficiency, which always hurts with how low mine is. Except for teams where I sold all my depth and I have like a 98% efficiency because my bench players just don't score points. And hey, yeah.
There you go.
All right, next question. Ridley Truther. Why is Mac Jones the best rookie quarterback? I mean, is he? I kind of think, production-wise, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Looks-wise, kind of. I think the only reason is I could think he has the, even though he has no real wide receivers to speak of, which is why Hunter Henry has 18,000 touchdowns. Jacoby Myers scored a touchdown this week.
Woohoo!
Yes. Congratulations, Jacoby. I know awesome. You're listening. We love you, baby.
Like, hey, the team came out to congratulate him, too.
I knew it was going to happen when they played the Browns. So I was so happy. I was coming on the day after they played the Browns, because I knew it's just the Cleveland thing. You know it's going to happen. It had to be the Browns.
Oh, it's like you, I felt giddy for him. Like that was just, and like half the team runs off the bench. There's definitely more than the 10 other dudes on offense jumping into the end zone. It was just very awesome. But I think it's the most stable position. Like you don't usually stop and think these highly drafted quarterbacks are highly drafted because they're drafted by bad teams. And bad teams either mean complete turnover in coaching, or you have Matt Nagy. You know, so it's a little tougher, you know, Trevor Lawrence being with Urban Meyer and Zach Wilson being Zach Wilson and, you know, Fields being with Matt Nagy. And, oh, why did the Patriots had a decent pick and they drafted a quarterback? So they have Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. And yeah, I get it. Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne are their best wide receivers, but they've never had good wide receivers, so it doesn't really matter. So it's weird to think. It's not super surprising that Mac Jones is the best quarterback. But really what I wanted to ask you two when I saw this question was, where does he rank? If we were to do a redo of the 21 draft right now in Superflex, where does he go in terms of quarterbacks? The almost consensus was Lawrence, Fields, Lance, Jones, Wilson, or Wilson Jones, whatever those last two you wanted. Richie, what's the order for you now?
Right now, it's Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, just because I have not seen enough of Trey Lance.
It's funny that not seeing enough of Trey Lance is better than what we've seen of Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Pretty much. Is.
Yeah. Me and Rock definitely agree with you. What's your order on it right now, Rock?
I'm still close to where I was when they all came out, or even pre-draft. I still have Lawrence at the top. Fields is finally starting to come around and overcome Nagy. So I still have him second. I think Mac Jones and Trey Lance would be a 3A and 3B for me, I think. I've been kind of a Trey Lance hater, partially because I don't know how you can think that he's like, we have no idea what kind of passer he's going to be. But we've also seen this year that with Jalen Hurts, that he's improving, but you do not have to be a good passer to be a great fantasy quarterback, which is why everybody loves Trey Lance.
Debo, so, baby.
Yeah. So Richie said, I wish we could have seen more of Lance so far, but I think I probably put him like this much above, I'm super close together fingers here, above Mac. But I don't think this is, like you said, I don't think this is totally surprising, not even just for some of the reasons you said, but coming from Alabama, you know, that's almost like a pro system almost, and he's already throwing basically to NFL wide receivers. And so this was almost like, a step down for him though. But he was
Devonta, Waddle.
Yeah.
Born and Aguilar. So
I just think a lot of people said he was probably the most pro-ready guy coming out. I think he was there for years too, right? I'm not positive on that one. Maybe not. But I definitely just think that he was probably the most ready. And like you said, he went into the best situation, best coaching staff, other than his weapons, like we talked about. But yeah, so I just think he was going to be the guy that probably produced the best this year. And I still believe in Lawrence. I still believe in Fields. It's going to take, they would need to perform like Zach Wilson for me to come off them. So,
yeah, I think I'm with you more than I am with Richie on this. Like, I still believe in Trevor Lawrence. Like, the entire world, can't be wrong that he's good. And Fields was always my two, and the fact that we're seeing it already.
And he looked really good that last game.
An offense that isn't built for him, where you have the ghost of Allen Robinson, who is absolutely just checked out, and Darnell Mooney, who we like, but I mean, he's not meant to be the only receiving option on a team. I mean, no disrespect, Cole Kmet, but I mean, a little disrespect. So I still have them two up top, and I'm with you. This is where the struggle started. Do I put Lance or do I put Jones? And at this point, I think I just take Jones, because if we were to draft right now, I know I'm getting points out of Jones for the rest of the season. And like you always say, I do like Lance a lot more than you do, but that floor is a little worrisome. We know that Jones has the safest floor in the world. He has at worst the ability to be insanely average. So I think that's absolutely safe. And, as Wilson was always my last one, and I'm good with keeping Wilson at the last one.
Yeah, I've said it before with Mac. I think he's going to be he's going to be Kirk Cousins.
1,000%.
And we know I love me some Kirk Cousins.
All right, I think we get to ask this question every week, Rocky. At Andrew Hall FF, will Hurts be the Eagles QB next year? I feel like every week it's harder and harder to predict, especially when he actually plays well.
Which he is actually playing well now. They're not asking him to do as much, but this was probably his best game of the season this past week. He played pretty well in the past two games when they were running the ball a lot. They ran a little ball
giving out him this the Baker week. Treatment.
Yeah. But he's looked good. I mean, he's looked good passing the ball when he is passing it. And I mean, that pass to Devontae Smith this week was a great throw and a great catch. It was an amazing catch, but he put it where Devontae could get it. So one thing I will say, I'm still not sure about next year. I definitely think he lasts. I traded for Hurts a few weeks ago, and we talked about it on here. And I said when I made it, I was a little worried. I got him pretty cheap, but I was worried that he might not last the season. He might not last a month at that point. This was before these last three games, I think. I think he's making it through the season. I don't think we're seeing Gardner. He's shown enough now. And they're starting to win. And their schedule is easing up tremendously. They do play the Saints next week. But they have two games against the football team. They have two games against the Giants. They got a game against the Jets. So he's going to win some games probably. And he's probably going to look at least decent doing it. So I don't know that he's getting benched this year. Like I was worried about next year. I still think it's 60-40 maybe that he's not there, but I would three weeks ago I would have said like 90-10 that he's not there. So his chances are improving. I just think that they, with all the draft capital they have, it still may be that they think he's not the guy. He looks almost like someone you can win with, but that he's not going to win you games. He's not a guy that's going to win because of Jalen Hurts. And it depends on how the Eagles view that. I kind of think with all the draft capital they have, I'm not even saying they're going to draft somebody. I could see them trading for Russell Wilson or maybe getting in the Watson sweepstakes, something like that. So yeah, I think it's more likely than not he's not there, but not it's getting closer.
It's funny that it's purely because the Eagles made some really smart offseason moves that we're worried about Hurts. If they didn't have these two extra firsts, I don't think we question it at all. They're stuck with him for another year because, like Rocky just said, they're going to win a couple of games down the line, in which case they're probably picking around 15 and Mac Jones isn't in this draft to fall to 15 again. So I think it's a little scary just purely based on their situation where they have the ammunition to do a lot of what they want to do. Like they have, of all the teams that want to go get a quarterback, they're in the best position to go get whatever quarterback that is, whatever one is available. So that's the only thing that worries me. He's not playing bad enough that you just go out and replace him. He's not playing good enough that his job is secure. The Eagles aren't playing bad enough that they trash the entire team. They're not playing good enough that they try and ride in with their team. Like, it's just like, come on, Eagles, make this a little easier for us. But they won't.
And to the draft capital point, it's looking like they're almost definitely going to have three first. They won't. The third one won't be as high, but it doesn't look like there's, unless Wentz gets hurt, they're going to get that first. It might be 20, it might be 18 instead of like 11 or 9, or like I was looking earlier in the year, but they're going to have those three first, unless Wentz gets hurt.
How do you feel about Hurts, Richie?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they have Miami's first, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is could be...
It's top 10 right now. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where
it's going to at least be top 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of understand some of your points. And obviously, I'm looking at it from an outsider just because I'm not an Eagles fan. But I personally feel that he could very well start next year. I look at it from a different lens in the fact that they have the assets to actually go out and get players to help them compete. And you know, some of the things that you've said, Hurts hasn't played horrible in the last few games, and he's actually played pretty well. You know, and in a fantasy aspect, he's a gold mine, you know, for those who may have picked him up last year towards the end of the year or who have bought him kind of cheap at the beginning of this year. You know, he's a fantasy gold mine. And in regards to NFL play, he has the tools. I mean, we all saw Josh Allen go from 58 completion percentage to 72, you know, and I don't think he can make that jump, but he's slowly starting to get the weapons on that offense to help him in that regard.
Yeah, and I think if he plays the way he's played the last three games for the rest of the year, mm-hmm. he probably will be the starter. But he looked so bad for most of the first seven games that, like, he was not doing very well. The Atlanta game, he was pretty good the first game of the year. And every game after that, he was not looking good. He was missing routine throws and things like that. But that has not been happening recently. So it may be part of it was coaching. I mean, Sirianni was asking him to do too much prior. They were having games where he was throwing the ball like 40 plus times, and now they have it where I don't know if he's thrown more than 25 times in any of these last three games. So I think that makes a lot more sense. They're running the ball great. If he can, and with less on his shoulders, he's doing more with the chances he's getting in terms of real NFL play. So if he does that, I agree with you. I think he will be the starter. It's just I have to see it more to believe that he's definitely going to keep this up and not revert to those other six games before this,
which again was good for fantasy, just not great for real world. And real world needs to sometimes exist to still be good in fantasy sometimes. All right, and our last question is from at @omg_its_jbrew. When do you look at a young receiver and decide they are the real deal and put your chips in on them? What do you need to see? Recently moved Adams for Pittman and a first. Won the ship last year. Team stepped back this year, so I'm looking to get younger and bounce back. Okay, I love Davante Adams, but I got to be honest, that's a really good deal for him right now because of the ageism of the Dynasty community in general, and I do believe in Pittman. It's the confirmation bias you need, right? Like, you find that guy you liked in the first place, and now that Pittman is scoring points, it's just like, yeah, no, I knew it. That's the guy. He's the guy. Let's do it. Clearly, you need to see them score points, right? Like, that's like an obvious answer. But, like, right. I'm looking at Devonta Smith, who is not very consistent with the points he's putting up. We see why he's not consistent with the points putting up, but I still think he's the real deal. So I really hate that the answer is eye test. You know, when you look at the guy, you see he's doing well, you see he's good. Push the chips in, man. Like, that's what makes you feel good, right? Like, being right is awesome. Planting a flag and it being correct. And yes, sometimes you'll lose. Sometimes you draft Josh Doctson and Corey Coleman all over the place. And sometimes you use the 101 on Corey Davis instead of Fournette, Cook, or McCaffrey. It happens. But, I mean, part of playing the game is getting the guys you like. And it hurts sometimes, but it's your game, right? That's why you join more leagues. So sometimes you take the guys you like. Sometimes you take the smart people tell you to like. Is there anything, Richie, you need to do specifically before you, even if you like a guy that you say, no, this is it, I'm going to actually go out and acquire him everywhere in all of your five leagues?
So it comes down to, for me, to eye test, but it also comes down to how I feel about the situation at their end. With Pittman, it was kind of rocky last year with the quarterback situation. But to this year, I was slightly high on Pittman. So it all just comes down to belief in somebody and coming to the understanding that if you're going to put your chips in on somebody, then it's definitely something that you just have to commit to. And, you know, with like that, like the trade that he had put in his question, that's definitely very good value for Davante Adams, because you don't know what to expect moving forward from Davante Adams, you know, in regards to his situation in Green Bay. But you know what to expect from Michael Pittman in Indy if he has Carson Wentz for another few years. So in regards to value, you know, you just got to believe that that's somebody that you can take onto your dynasty roster and have faith that he can just compete.
And I think the line you said at almost the very beginning when you asked the question about the confirmation bias was a really good one, because I do think that's a part of it. Like, Pittman was a guy I liked too and a guy I believed in, and it took maybe four or five weeks of you know, fairly consistent points scoring. I'm like, yep, he's up there now. And it's, so that's part of it. I think it takes me a little longer with the guy. Like, I wasn't a believer in DK Metcalf coming out as a rookie, so it took me a little longer to come around on him. Obviously, I value him very highly, but I still think I still think both of us, Russ, don't quite value him as high as a lot of the rest of the Dynasty community.
Yeah, no. And that just comes with being a Seahawks fan.
Yeah. But and I guess the one other thing besides eye test, which I agree with, would be and situation, which Richie said, which is a good point, is targets, which goes kind of good into situation. Yeah. But if you're seeing, like, if a guy's producing but not getting the volume, it's a little more of a concern. But it, like Devontae's getting, he's not always have the highest targets just from a pure counting standpoint, but he's got the lion's share of the target share there since pretty much all season. So yeah, targets, eye test, confirmation bias, all that goes into it, and then obviously scoring points. But I think I'd have to score more points for longer for me if I wasn't a believer to begin with.
Why did you guys not tell me about this butt interception that happened from the Niners?
I don't think it happened. I think it was a flag was called.
Oh, that's upsetting because, you know, I keep trying to check Twitter just to see if something exciting happens so we could talk about, because, you know, it's not often we get on Monday night, like, any good news. So I want to be able to, like, this just happened. But no. But yeah, so some defensive player on the Niners literally caught the ball with his butt.
Yeah. I actually missed that. So I just pay more attention than
I keep looking over. Okay. That league, I couldn't have Cooper Kupp and Henderson score more than a certain amount of points. I'm actually winning by like 2.38 right now. So,
so I like you, buddy, but oh my God, Cooper Kupp, keep scoring more points.
That's the difficulty that I'm in because I have Cooper Kupp in one of my big leagues, and okay this week.
He is at 10 for 97, so he's that's still got good. A pretty good amount of points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my TA2 team showed up like trash this week, so it doesn't matter how many points Kupp scores. It's not going to dig me out of that hole.
This is the back-to-back weeks I've gone 1-4, so.
Yeah.
This game right here would make me 2-3, so I'm hoping.
All right. I'll cross my fingers for you because there ain't no hope for me. Let's get on to our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points for tight end receptions with 0.05 points for return yardage. There are no TA1 trades. So for all of them, the first trade we have is in Trade Addicts 2, where actually we have two of these trades, which I thought was super interesting. So I'm just going to say them both. In TA2 and TA9, we had Kenny Galladay and a third for Hunter Renfro, and then Allen Robinson and a third for McKissick and Hunter Renfro. So we're paying up for Hunter Renfro right now, which I thought was super interesting. Solid. Yeah, he's actually been really pretty good, and I think it's just the players on the other side that hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
More than anything else, it's like, you know, I really believe in Galladay. I love me some Allen Robinson, and neither of them are doing absolutely anything this year. So I absolutely, on a contending team, understand both of these moves. It just
hurts. Wow. I was just looking at it. He, on at least in TA3 scoring, which is pretty much just, or I'm sorry, TA scoring, which is pretty much just PPR. Does Renfro return kicks?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So
he normally does.
But I think does he? So he's a little boosted.
Yeah, they might be taking him off of it, though.
It might be a little boosted then, but he has 1 week all year with less than 12 points in TA scoring.
That's really good.
And no game higher than 19.15.
That's not great, but it's still, yeah. I mean, that's insanely dependable for what you drafted him or paid for him for.
I still wouldn't trade Allen Robinson for him.
For him and McKissick, who, with the way Gibson was playing before this week, because this trade was made before the games, I don't know. I might just to try and win, because you know you're not going to do it with Allen Robinson. Like, that's where I am. I don't know what to do with Allen Robinson anymore. I cry. That's what I do. I cry.
I have him on a couple of contenders, and I've just been holding. I haven't even tried shopping him. Maybe that's a smart move. I think I'm still irrationally holding out hope somehow for this year, which is not going
to
happen.
No, not this year. Like, if you want to hold out hope for next year that he goes to a better team and better things are on the horizons, more power to you. But man, if you're holding out for this year,
I just don't want to move.
I'll give you a nice big hug in the end and dry your tears away.
even though Hunter Renfrow has been super consistent, I mean, he's wide receiver 26 in that TA scoring. So, I mean, that's better than Allen Robinson this year, but I still think that next year we're going to see something closer to previous year's Allen Robinson. He's still only going to be 29 next year. Mm-hmm. He may be on a new team with better coaching.
Yeah, will be.
There's right. no he's way on the franchise tag, the yeah, and he has no desire to be with the Bears, so he will be on a new team.
Yeah,
maybe with a better quarterback. Hopefully, with a better quarterback, considering his entire career. Mm-hmm. so I still think I just on the teams I have him, I just don't. I'd have to be really desperate and have very little depth to move him for Hunter Renfrow and J.D. McKissic. Even with those two together, I just. Maybe I'm just too much of a believer in Allen Robinson. I don't know.
How do you feel, Richie, about these one-time studs in Kenny Golladay and Allen Robinson pretty much being having to add a third to go get Hunter Renfrow?
I will say I get the Golladay one more. I'm sorry, Richie.
No, you're good. No, I actually agree. I actually like the Golladay and a third for Renfrow. I am perfectly okay with that. And Derek Carr has shown the trust that he has in Hunter Renfrow, and he's going to trust him quite a bit. So that trade I'm actually completely okay with, even going into next year. Because Golladay has not been healthy the last 2 years, and it's continued this year. You don't really know what to expect from Daniel Jones. And in regards to this year so far, when he's been on the field, I don't know if he's topped more than 10 or 12 points, but maybe once or twice. So now – I do agree with Rocky with the Allen Robinson in a third. For McKissic and Renfrow, I would much rather hold Robinson just because he can very well easily go to another team and be the top guy. And you know the talent is there just because of the quarterbacks he's had in the past that have thrown him the ball. And he's still been a top 12, top 15 receiver without any issues. So in regards to Allen Robinson, you know, I'm definitely holding him unless I'm selling to move up a tier or selling to move to maybe somebody in the same tier, but I'm definitely not selling him to move down.
Yeah, I think what you said, Russ, about A-Rob probably checking out on this year because he doesn't want to be there because of how crappy everything's going there. To me, that's the only explanation for what's going on. The guy doesn't just drop off a cliff at 28 like he has. So I just think once he gets out of that situation, he's going to be a massive value. No one's going to want him this offseason as a 29-year-old coming off like a wide receiver 45 season. And I think we're going to see way improved Allen Robinson next year, unless he goes and plays with Zach Wilson or something.
Don't say that. Don't even say that. Changing subjects. Trade Addicts 3, Jalen Hurts for Derek Carr, Cole Beasley, and CJ Uzomah. I stared at this for a while.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. None of these feel super great for the future. Derek Carr, I mean, you at least know his job is secure. But, like, I guess the guys, whoever took on Derek Carr is a competing team because they took on Beasley and Uzomah.
I believe Dustin got the Carr, Beasley, Uzomah side of this.
Well, I'm winning that league anyway, so it doesn't matter whatever they did. But, like, I stare at this and I don't know, man. Like, let's go quarterbacks, hit now. Let's hit the average button so I could do it in points per game. Jalen Hurts is ninth with 24.37 points per game. Derek Carr in 12th with 21.8. So, I mean, we're talking, what, 2.5 points per game difference on average? Actually, neither of them have done super great the past few weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like, I guess give me the Carr side because Beasley and Uzomah are probably going to score points. And Carr, we know, is safe if anything else. I this trade just makes me shrug my shoulders and be like, I hope you two are happy. That's all I care about.
I'm kind of with you there. I don't know what to make of that either. I actually lean the Hurts side just because I feel like there's so much more upside there. If he does remain the quarterback into next year, then maybe he's the quarterback for several years going forward. If he survives this three first round pick off season, he is scoring a little more than Carr. Beasley's a nice piece. Uzuma's whatever to me. He's going to go off three or four times a year, and you're never going to know when it is. I'm usually the anti-homer, but maybe I'm being blinded by these last three games and seeing them get better. But, and I know this was made before the last one, but I lean the Hurts side just because I think you could, in a year, this could look ridiculously like in favor of that side. I don't think it will ever look ridiculously in favor of the other side.
So when I first seen this, my first initial thought was, I'm not even questioning it, it's Jalen Hurts. But looking at it more, and actually that stat that Russ pulled up in regards to just a 2.5 point difference, I think I might lean at Derek Carr side just because you're getting points this year in Cole Beasley. And I actually really like CJ Uzama, going into maybe future years, pairing him up with Joe Burrow. He hasn't had the target share that you would want, but obviously there's a lot of weapons on that offense to kind of take away from that target share. But there's just not enough of a difference to sell the other two players with Derek Carr for Hurts. But I can understand why somebody would want to take on Hurts just because of the optimism that could be, going into next year.
Unrelated to anything. At one point I said, anyone who's watching along with us from our patrons who hanging out in the chat, and I said that there were zero people. I forgot to give them the link to watch along, so they can't.
I was wondering that, actually. It's very rare that we go an entire show with zero people.
This is not my night, everyone. This is just, I am sorry for all you lovely, wonderful human beings that are our patrons that you're not getting to watch this live, and I apologize. Please don't leave me. Please don't be mad at me. Holy crap. We're just going to keep moving on like that never happened. Trade Addict 7. No, never mind. We're just talking about more things that hurt my feelings. Travis Etienne and Calvin Ridley for Leonard Fournette and Michael Pittman. All right, I'm going to go first again because this is talking about Calvin Ridley. I would swap Calvin Ridley for Michael Pittman right now.
Does that hurt your soul, Russ?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I like Pittman. In TA9, I think I sent Ridley for Waddle and it got rejected just because I like Waddle and because I hate that team so much because it should have been so good, except I lost three tight ends and Ridley and Juju and just name players that got hurt. Yeah, they're on my team. Edmonds, yeah, he's there. Like, Kyler, yeah, no, he's there. Like, clearly, it's just that it wasn't meant to be. That's fine. I understand that. But so that swap, that to me, that's a swap. And you're lucky to get it if you do. So we're talking Pittman's probably worth more than Ridley right now, just because we have no idea whatsoever what's going on with Calvin Ridley. So what we're saying is Leonard Fournette plus a little bit equals ETN. And I think that's fair as well. So this is whatever you want. You want to score points, you get Fournette and Pittman. You're playing for next year. You've crossed your fingers, Ridley's coming back, and you take Ridley and ETN. I to me, this is just exactly what it looks like. It's next year versus this year, and I would absolutely do this if I'm on either side of it.
I don't have much to add because I think you said it all pretty well. I agree exactly what you said about Ridley and Pittman. I guess the only thing I would say is, that's what I thought too. It's next year versus this year, but you're also getting next year and the years beyond with Pittman too.
Yeah, so that makes it I absolutely easy. Ignored the fact that Pitt is a very young wide receiver who is producing, but it's also because I just do think if Ridley were to come back this week, Ridley's a more talented wide receiver than Pittman is. So I'm plugging in Ridley walks in week one next year back to Calvin Ridley wide receiver one. So if that is the case, sure. Like I said before, when I was talking about it, we have absolutely no idea whatsoever what is going to happen, but I'm going to keep telling myself that because I need to be able to sleep at night. And now I'm not going to be able to because we've just been talking about way too much stuff that makes me sad. Richie, start talking so I can stop thinking.
Yeah, I'll take the Fournette and Pittman side here. You know, and I won't go into too much into it just because I know you guys have already done that. But I do like Michael Pittman going past this year as well. So, you know, you are giving up a top-tier wide receiver when healthy and when, you know, mentally healthy as well. But Pittman going forward, he's somebody that I can take on. And like you said, if you're looking to score points this year, you're definitely getting that in Fournette and Pittman.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we can just sort of go. What's our next trade? Hold on. I clicked away. Still in trade Addict 7. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, David Montgomery, and Jarvis Landry. That is a motley crew of players. For even bigger, for Deshaun Watson and Chase Edmonds. This is one of the weirdest trades I've ever seen. Someone else talk about this. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, David Montgomery, Jarvis Landry for Deshaun Watson and Chase Edmonds. You talk about this one, Reggie.
Yeah, this, when I seen this, this trade had me kind of confused, just because I don't know the parameters of it, and what are some of the reasonings behind it. But
that's part of the fun, man.
I can get into that. This is no.
Let him talk first, and then you can go.
It's hard to choose a side here just because of the running backs that you're getting. But I actually would prefer the quarterback because when healthy, Watson is a top five quarterback in regards to NFL and in fantasy football. So I'm gonna have to lean the Watson side because Landry in that Browns offense, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen going forward. And in regards to CEH and Montgomery, with CEH, he could very well, come back to the Chiefs and be in a 50-50 split with whoever the other running back is. And, Montgomery is definitely a strong piece to have, but if you're talking super flex leagues, Watson is in a very important piece moving forward.
So, This was my deal with Hurley and TA7, and he's made me multiple offers for Watson all season. He's rebuilding. I'm trying to contend. I got Watson too for a first and a third off of Bobby Koch, who just kind of wanted him off his team with the idea of selling him for a profit and probably a bigger profit than this when he came back, but. I just decided he threw it out to me. He offered, I think, for Watson, for Montgomery and Landry or something like that. I did not want to do that. I told him I would. It's funny, too, because I actually traded him CEH and Montgomery all within the last month to get in trades that got me Henderson and Cooper, Amari Cooper. So we just keep trading back and forth. But I just decided I was willing to get out on him. I'm probably foolishly trying to contend in this league. I feel like I mention this every week because there's always a Hurley trade with me and him. because there's a couple monster teams there. But I figured that if I get the more good players, maybe I can get them all in the right matchups in the play. Like, I have a bunch of good players and not a lot of great players in that league. I was just willing to sell pieces that weren't going to get me points for pieces that were. And I like CEH still. I am curious to see how this shakes out now. Does this mean, like, the way we've seen Darrell Williams use is the way we were hoping CEH? He's catching passes all over the place, Darrell Williams is. So I don't know if that's, like, a good sign that maybe they're going to throw to the running back more, or is it just mean that CEH is going to get less time and Darrell Williams is going to be even more involved than he is before? I don't know. But I still like CEH in that offense. I like Monty more than I think the rest of the community does as a whole. I think he's a good back. And Landry, he actually just threw in. So it was part of the original deal, and then I said I wanted the two running backs. And he actually sent that over, and then I took a while to respond, and he said, screw it, I'm just going to throw Landry in. So I accepted it. I was like, okay, free play.
I was busy, man, but sure, I'll take it.
All right.
I was thinking about taking it with that Landry too. I was like, oh, I'm probably gonna do it. I just hadn't gotten around to it yet. And he just like he threw him in there. So I was like, and yeah. And he said for the running backs, he wanted Edmonds back. And I'm like, whatever. Edmonds to me is not something I'm really concerned about one way or the other for this year. And I who knows what he's going to be next year, how much value he's going to have. So yeah, I just wanted more people. And both of these guys are going to be back for me next week. It looks like they said CEH is likely to play in week 11. Like I said, I don't really care about Landry, but so like I said, I have like five or six good running backs there. I have five or six good receivers. I have I think I have Waller there. So hopefully I can mix and match them all. Maybe I can compete with some of these monster teams in the playoffs. Probably not, but that was my thinking. If I get enough good players, maybe I'll luck out and win a couple playoff games. Because right, I'm pretty much locked into the playoffs there. There's like six rebuilding teams and six competing teams. So the top six are pretty much locked in.
You just wait in like 3-4 years. My team's going to be killer. All right. Our last trade of the day is Mac Jones, the man we've talked about plenty, Chris Carson, Michael Thomas, and a 22 first for Josh Allen. Wow, 4-for-1. Mac Jones, Chris Carson, Michael Thomas, and a weird group of people, and a 22 first for Josh Allen. I pay this for Josh Allen. Got to be honest. Chris Carson, at this point, I love the dude, but man, it's been a while since he's played. We know he misses games all the time. Yeah, he's good for 15 to 20 points when he does play, but who the hell knows what that is? I mean, Michael Thomas ain't playing this year, and he's definitely forcing his way out, and he's going to be, what, a 29-year-old wide receiver on a new team, just like Allen Robinson, who hasn't played in 2 years, though. Is that a good thing? I don't know. Maybe he's rested. He hasn't had the wear and tear of playing, but, like, he hasn't played football in 2 years. That's a big deal. And a first is a first. So I don't – but, like, to get Josh Allen, who is a top-three quarterback and is scoring last week, just get it out of your minds. Get that Jacksonville game out of your minds. Josh Allen is scoring like a top three quarterback. So if I'm competing and I have these weird pieces on my team, I definitely do this trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm not a guy who, I mean, it's not a trade I would normally make, but if this was offered to me and I had all those players, I would probably do that. I like Mac, but yeah, I mean, there's a huge chasm between Mac Jones and Josh Allen for me. And I really have no interest at this point in Chris Carson or Michael. I'm as out on Michael Thomas as I was out on Odell Beckham a year or so ago. And yeah, the 22 first is what it is. Especially if it's a competing team, but it's a playoff team first. I'm not that concerned about that. It's basically Mac Jones a first and two pieces I don't really want. So even though I don't generally pay up for quarterback, I would probably do this.
Yeah. So I try and think of this in terms of the other team. I did not at all look at whose team did what, but the combination of things they got is so weird. Like, you get Mac Jones in a first, which is a great rebuilding trade, even though Josh Allen is like 24.
Yeah.
But besides the point, you know, Josh Allen is your only good asset. This is what you have to do. But then you get Michael Thomas and Chris Carson. A lot has to happen for them to have value to be able to move them. I don't get it. I don't know. I hope you're happy. That's what really matters. Whoever got that side, I hope you're happy, but I don't see it. Sorry, bro.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's look for a second. Who gave? Dave gave up, in which case Jason Real got real people got that. We'll have to make fun of him later because we just don't agree with him. But no, but yeah, it's I get it. You compiled some value. You got some good pieces. If Michael Thomas comes back and is Michael Thomas, man, you got to steal. Even if it's just for a year.
Yeah, or even just to sell him at a profit.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a lot of risk to take on when losing a dude that's not really any risk whatsoever because he's a tank. Did you guys talk it? I don't remember. Yes, we all talked about it. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I actually didn't, but I would just take, I would take Josh Allen. Just to keep it simple. You know, I would take Josh Allen's side for sure.
Well, there's a reason I didn't ask you. So just, yeah. You know.
Yeah, well, we knew you'd agree.
I think this is kind of obvious. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show also because I forgot who spoke. So clearly I'm spanked.
It's Russ's bedtime.
Yeah, we pass 11 and it gets dangerous. Thank you, Richie, for coming on. I hope you had a great time. We had a great time having you here.
Yes.
I appreciate you minimizing our view of the murder basement so we feel less scared while talking to you.
Of course.
And before we do get out of here, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
Yes, I am Richie Neal. I am at @RichieRichFF06 on Twitter. And I am the co-host of the Casuals Fantasy Football Podcast. So go ahead and check us out. And we're definitely trying to add some listeners to our grouping, as you could say. And just, you know, look forward to the rest of this fantasy football season coming into the playoffs here soon.
And if you don't listen to another episode of their show, which you should listen to every single one of them, just keep going back and listen to the one I was on. So just they could be like, what was our best show? Oh, it was Russ. Of course it was. Yes. Yeah.
Start at the one that Russ was on.
Yeah. And then move forward. That's a good idea. Yeah. There you go. No, but seriously, check them out. It was a great time. They have a good show. Yeah. But this is the end of our show. Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse, Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict. We are at Trade Addicts Pod. DLF Family Podcast at DAP_network on the Twitters for the DAP Network. Subscribe, rate, review, because we love you and we want you to love us and you want you to tell us how much you love us. If you don't like us, keep it to yourself. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. When I remember to post the link on Patreon, you can watch us live. I'm such an ass. I'm so sorry. Usually it's the opposite. Usually I forget to change it to private and then just it's live.
Yeah.
But this time I was in such a rush that I forgot to post it on the Patreon site, which I'll do when we're done so they could watch it later. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Watch us do this. You can contribute to the conversation in the chat. Also, we have the awesome Cool Kids Club on GroupMe, our chat there, where there's just a lot of very smart people, which I love because, you know, if I'm actually doing work during the day, I could just open it up and go, yep. Yeah, I agree with everything these guys said. Just go with that. You know, it makes me feel like less of a jerk that I don't get to pay as much attention to it as I want to all the time. Also, we have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Our awesome shop where you can get t-shirts, mugs, stickers from a ton of your favorite podcasts, everyone on the DAP network, and anyone else who was just too lazy to make their own stuff. And they said, hey, Russ, do this. And I said, okay. And the best part of all of that is every single penny goes to charity. Every single penny will go to Fantasy Cares for at least the rest of the calendar year. Get kids toys for the holidays because everyone should be happy for the holidays. And I always feel like there's supposed to be something after that, but there isn't. So I'm going to need to just like burn that into my skull. done with FF Pod shirts. Say good night. So good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
See ya.
People probably like listen to this in the morning. They're like, why is this a-hole saying good night? You know, but I don't care. Get over it. This is my show.